Welcome, everybody, to the 4130 Show. My name is AJ Gretz. I am lead pastor here at South Granville Church. And with me, as always, my friend and co-host, Ben Netz.
Hello, everyone.
Ben, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great this week. A little under the weather, but that's to be expected with October, right?
Yeah. I think we're both playing hurt today. But yeah. We are here, and we are excited to be here. So, Ben, this week we talked about success and how success in God's kingdom is kind of different than maybe what we think of in terms of our own life and our own culture. And one of the questions I had for you was, if you were wildly successful beyond your dreams and you had more money than you knew what to do with, you and your family are not flashy people. You are very down-to-earth people. But if you were going to buy something really self-indulgent or do something really crazy with money, what would you do?
Okay, so I had some time to think about this. And it goes back to when I was a kid. I used to collect Matchbox cars, right? But as a 41-year-old man, I think that'd be kind of a silly thing to collect, is all the Matchbox cars I wanted.
You just offended like half of our listeners.
I know.
Go on.
Sorry, people. I would step that up a notch. So I would collect all the cars from the Fast and Furious movies. The Supra, the RX-7, the R32s, everything else.
Now, when you say that, do you mean you want those cars, or do you want the actual cars that were filmed in the movies?
The actual cars from the movies.
Okay.
Yeah.
That would be pretty awesome. Where would you keep all those?
I don't know. Oh, money be no object, right?
Right.
I'd build a great big garage.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, when this podcast takes off, then we know, we know what you're going to be pursuing.
That's right. Where's Ben?
Yeah.
All right. So here's a fun question just to point it back at you, AJ. Wildly successful. Maybe God didn't lead you down the path of a humble pastor, right? And you're some tech guru in Silicon Valley with all kinds of money to spend. What would be the thing you'd be most interested in keeping to yourself?
Yeah, one of my daydreams would be to have a really awesome cabin somewhere in the woods, you know, with property, maybe on water. You could have a big wood stove, maybe a giant stuffed bear in the living room,
okay.
A manly bear, you know.
Oh, like an 8-foot tall bear.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Just growing up north, we had friends that had camps and cabins and stuff, and we have taken a number of vacations to places like that. And, that would be, if I had just piles of money for some reason, I think that would be one of the things I would want to use it for.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. A good place to go after a busy week and hang out for the weekend.
Right. Chop wood, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Ronald Reagan.
Well, this week we're looking at Acts chapter 6 and 7, which tell a story of Stephen, one of the new leaders in the early church. So Stephen is kind of held up for us as an example. Luke says he's full of wisdom and that God is really working through him. And he gets kind of promoted, if you will, to this position of leadership and helping to oversee collections and food distribution for people who are in need. So in chapter 6, he gets into this theological debate with a group of Jews, and Luke says that they're no match for the wisdom God has given to him. But rather than reevaluating their position, as we've seen kind of throughout Acts, there's just this unwillingness to reconsider their beliefs about Jesus. And so instead, they end up getting people to make a bunch of false claims about Stephen, and he ends up in front of the Sanhedrin, this same court that some of the other disciples had to deal with in the last chapter. So then in chapter 7, Stephen's on trial, and he launches into this really long speech where he kind of walks through Israel's history. And as he's talking, he's detailing some of the leaders that God had raised up in the way that Israel and the nation's leaders had rejected those people, rejected what God was trying to do. So again, the implication is that the leaders need to rethink their position. They're not right with God because they've rejected Jesus and what God is trying to do through him and through the church. But as we've seen all along, it's just a really tough sell, and the leaders are not interested in reexamining their position. So they become so angry at one point that this tension that's been building feels like it just kind of boils over, and they end up pulling Stephen out of the court. They go out of the city, and then they end up stoning him to death, which obviously is not the way we would have hoped that the story would end. But throughout the whole experience, Stephen remains an example to us. He's strong in his faith. He's still close with Jesus. At one point, he has this vision where Jesus is standing at God's side, preparing to receive him. And then as he's dying, Stephen prays in a way that really echoes Jesus' prayer from the cross. He prays that Jesus would receive him, and he also prays that God would forgive his enemies and those who are stoning him, just as Jesus prayed for his enemies. And so, in a way, Luke is inviting us to look at Stephen as an example and say, just as we follow Jesus, just as Stephen followed Jesus, we can look to Stephen as kind of this flesh and blood example of what that looks like. So Ben, I'm curious, as just kind of a normal guy, when you read this story and you think about Stephen's example, what is it that feels applicable to you or inspiring to you? Because, you know, hopefully in the United States, most of us are not going to get stoned to death for our faith. So what is it that you feel like you can take away from this?
The thing that I draw closest to is that, you know, we're all supposed to follow Jesus's example, but of course we're never going to make that level of perfection. But here we have Stephen, just a follower of Christ, who sort of parallels the story of Jesus about staying strong in his faith, going where the Lord is leading him, and saying the things that need to be said when they need to be said. And he pays the ultimate price for that. Not that any of us are looking to go out there, you know, with our faith on our sleeves, ready to get stones thrown at us. But, you know, here's an example of just an ordinary guy. This wasn't the Son of God. This was just Stephen. Mm. And he was able to go through life with that level of dedication and serve as an everyday guy example.
Yeah. I like that, because I think sometimes in the church, there's this distinction that people make that's not healthy, where they kind of put a few people, maybe, you know, people in ministry professionally in this category, and then they think of everybody else. And you don't expect a guy with a normal job to have the same kind of faith as a pastor or a professor or somebody who's doing that full time. And obviously Stephen is in ministry in a way. He's serving in the early church, but again, he's held up as the example of a normal person and saying, you and I can have this level of faith regardless of what kind of job we have or what kind of education we have, because it's not about us or our background. It's about what God is doing and really holding on to those promises that he makes to us.
Yeah, for sure. That makes me think of something. I'm going to bring back a bracelet, but instead this time it's going to have WWSD. What do you think of that? What would Stephen do?
Yeah. Is that what that means?
Yeah. See?
Yeah.
What would Stephen do? Normal guy, right? But living as an example of what's achievable as just a normal person.
I think you just found a way to buy your first car.
That's right. Look out, Toyota Supra.
Yeah. So Ben, on Sunday, as we read the story, we talked about our ideas of success and talked about how success in God's kingdom is really about faithfulness. Obviously, if you're going to hold up Stephen as an example and he ends up getting stoned to death, you have to have a different idea of success than maybe what we normally think. So as you were thinking about it and in your life, your career, your family life, is there something that you're focusing on right now to say, I want to define success this way? Success means being faithful by doing X, Y, Z, whatever it is.
Yeah. In fact, it reminded me a little bit of when we had our kids baptized. And going back to that promise to raise our kids in the Christian faith, and how do we define success in that, and how do we get to that point? And I think it makes me think about our family dinner time, where we pray before every meal, and sometimes we try to do devotions too, is to keep that up as sort of a gauge of, are we being successful in that promise?
Yeah, I think there's something really healthy about that. And even as a parent, to say, okay, I'm not going to judge success by, you know, how many times my kid asks me crazy deep questions, or, you know, even if they seem like they're enjoying it all that much. But to say, I am faithful, and that I'm putting this literally on the table with my family and planting those seeds.
Yeah, it's a practical Stephen thing to do, right?
Yeah.
WWST.
Yeah, as a pastor, when I was thinking about this question, I was couldn't help but think about our church and a lot of the pressure that people in ministry deal with in terms of having success by having more people or a bigger budget or being able to hire more staff or whatever it is. And obviously those are all good things and things that we are hoping for and pursuing here. But if you're determining success by the size of a crowd, you know, there's something deeply unhealthy about that. That's not in scripture anywhere. So this story is helpful to me because it reminds me that the most important thing to do is be faithful to what God has called us to do as a church. And if that means, you know, we only have 150 people on a Sunday, but we're doing great ministry and connecting with the community, then that's great. You know, that's really great. But that pressure is real, where pastors can start thinking about, you know, if I have a bigger church, then I am more successful, or it must mean I'm better or something. And I have to guard against that. And I want to help our church guard against that mentality as well, to say what matters most is what we're doing with what we have and being faithful to what God has given to us. And whatever our church looks like is fine.
Right. I think what'll eventually happen too is if we're staying true to being faithful, then God's church here is going to grow organically. Just like we talked about last week, how, what was the guy's name? The really wise Sadducee.
Gamaliel.
We couldn't figure out how to say his name. Gamaliel.
Yeah.
Right? He basically says, look, if this is God's will, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And I think that's an attitude we can take too, is if we just remain faithful to God, he's going to grow his church in the way that he sees fit. And then that's okay by us because it's God's will.
Well said.
Gamaliel. Figaro. So, AJ, we're at that point again, to a point in the podcast we like to call the cutting room floor. Each week you get a certain amount of time for the sermon, and you've got to condense a lot of information into that short little window of time. So I'm sure there's a lot of things that you'd like to have said but didn't get a chance to. Is there some things you'd like to share with us right now?
Yeah, a couple things. If you get a chance to read Stephen's whole speech in chapter 7, it's really interesting. And it, like I said, it goes through a lot of Israel's history. So it's just way too much information to cover. But it's pretty cool to read through it. As far as our ideas of success, one thing I was thinking about in the early draft of the sermon was how people in different cultural groups will pursue success in very different ways, but that they're ultimately doing the same thing. So you and I both grew up north, and we were talking before we started recording how we knew people who had crappy cars and maybe a small house, or like their clothes were, you know, raggedy, but then they had like $10,000 snowmobiles or a fifth wheel or something, because in that culture, that was how you were successful, that you had the toys to allow you to do all this kind of fun outdoor stuff. Whereas if you're in, you know, a different group, maybe the thing to have is the right clothes, or an outdoor pool, or you have a, you know, an expensive lake house or something. And so on the surface, it looks like those people are pursuing very different lifestyles, but really they're doing the same thing. They've got a vision of success, external success, and they are using their resources to pursue that. Even though, yeah, on the surface, it looks like they live very, very differently. And so what that means for us, I guess, is that we can fall into the same temptation. And depending on who we are, it might look really different. But if we are pursuing, you know, some kind of status object or possessions, or even just a bigger bank account, that we've defined success a certain way that's different than how God defines it. And we have to guard against that temptation.
So we're plowing our way through the book of Acts, but in fact, we've got a little break coming up here. This next week, we've got a guest pastor coming in. So there'll be no podcast next week for you to reflect on. We'll maybe put some links on Facebook to some other cool podcasts you might want to fill in the blank with.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And then we'll be back at it in a couple weeks. What can we look forward to when we start back up?
Yep. When we pick up, we'll go to Acts chapter 9, which tells the story of Saul, who converts to Christianity and becomes Paul. And one of the big themes in that passage is just thinking about how powerful God is, that anybody can change, no matter their circumstances, no matter how far gone they might seem. So it's a very powerful story and one I'm excited to get into.
Yeah. And this last week, we kind of saw a precursor to Paul, as in Saul, right?
Yeah. He's there during the stoning of Stephen. And he actually references it in his own speech later in Acts. So there's a sense that maybe this whole experience stuck with him or even had an influence on him, but that's never spelled out directly.
Okay, that sounds great. We'll be looking forward to that in a couple of weeks. Again, we've got a guest pastor coming in this week, so there'll be no podcast. There won't be a sermon about Acts to reflect on. But I think that about does it for us here on the 4130 show today. Again, 4130 is named after our church address, 4130 Wilson Avenue. AJ, can you tell us a few ways that people can get a hold of the podcast?
Yeah, we are available on many podcasting platforms. You can also visit our website, southgranvillechurch.org, and there's a designated page for the podcast. We are using Spotify, TuneIn, and you just said we're on Stitcher now as well. Is that right?
Correct, yeah. And Apple Podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
They're not calling it iTunes anymore, right?
As far as I know, yeah.
It's going to be called Apple Podcasts. So check us out there. Enjoy a couple week break. I know a lot of you probably can't even stand our voices anymore.
Hopefully.
Okay, so that about does it here at the 4130 show. Thanks for listening, and thank you seriously for all the support that people have given and the kind words. They've said a lot of nice things about our podcast. So thank you for those. We're going to keep doing this, and we feel like it's a worthwhile thing.
We'll see you again in a couple of weeks. Thanks for listening. And then, oh, I had a burp.